you are in close contact with peasants in Ukraine, and much of the media coverage of the war in Ukraine, at least in Germany, I think focuses on the situation in Ukrainian cities. How do the peasants you are in contact with currently experience the armed conflicts in the countryside?
Peasants in Ukraine are, and small farmers in Ukraine in general, are at the front line of the current dramatic situation of the invasion of Russia over Ukraine and that war that Russia generated over Ukraine currently. So I'm saying indeed, small family farmers, peasant farmers from Ukraine, they are sitting in the front line. They are the ones who are producing the majority of the food for the country. I mean, they are not the export, not the commodity crops, but the crops and the food that actually are being consumed in the country of Ukraine. So they, of course, are also the ones who stayed because of their farms, because of their like rural livelihood. They stayed and they continue farming despite of occupation, despite of aggression and mining of their lands. A lot of their lands are mined with bombs. So what they do is they really, under these circumstances, have a very hard time to cultivate, but they took the responsibility nonetheless to cultivate. And this is very brave and very needed right now in the current context. And actually yesterday we had a very good conversation where internally in La Via Campesina, where they exposed a lot of their current situation right now. And indeed, like as they say, also during the day they are farmers, during the night they are territorial defense, they are part of the civil mobilization for defending their country. So these people are very engaged into supporting their population with food, and they are often, as you say, also invisible indeed, because there are several reasons out of it. First of all, because a lot of the international media attention went towards the refugees, which is understandable, of course, because they were like already we have a very dramatic escalation of the refugee that went out from Ukraine, and especially my country, Romania, for instance, played a large role in welcoming these refugees and giving them comfort now in wartime. But also because many of these small farmers, even before the war, have been invisible because of Ukrainians' very export-oriented farming system that very much just put into the polarization the big commodity crops and the big farmers that were doing agro-holdings, as they call them, that were doing this. And right now what we see is that those agro-holdings are either left barren or lack the means to continue their kind of like industrial approach towards farming, while the small farmers are taking a very responsible role right now into feeding their own nation and their own people. And now the eyes are on them, because if they would not do that, then Ukraine would suffer even more from hunger. And what we see is also a lot of domestic refugees in Ukraine, people from occupied areas or people from areas under like strong aggression. They are leaving as they can. We heard about this kind of like failure of the humanitarian corridors, but for the ones that manage to leave their regions because of this very drastic war, they end up in the countryside of Ukraine many times, at their families, at their friends, at fellow farmers. So then these farmers have this extra responsibility to produce and feed these people, and also to think about the future, about their future, which is what they say, and I also truly hope it will be very bright, where they will stop the war and the aggression and there will be peace, and hopefully Ukraine will like look more towards their small farmers and what are they doing in wartime and peacetime equally.
So you mentioned now that before the war, there was a polarization in Ukrainian agriculture between big export-oriented farms and more smaller peasant farms, and that the big export-oriented farms are now often left abandoned. I am wondering what problems are the small peasants now facing because of the war in their agricultural practice every day?
The main issue, so we have been discussing a lot with our fellow farmers from Ukraine, small farmers from Ukraine, about this, and their needs are, they have very specific emergency needs, and these are linked to the means of production, it's a means of agricultural inputs, especially seeds that they need, because, for instance, Eco Ruralis, our organization, has been supporting, for instance, with potato seeds fellow farmers from Ukraine, because it's a voluminous thing, and storage places are being bombarded, or storage places are being also targets of attacks. Yes, this infrastructure is a bit destroyed also. So what they need is seeds, for instance. That's a very large immediate need. So this is something that we see that the international farming community, the small farming community, is responding to this need through EcoRallies, through ABL, for instance, from Germany, that, you know, that we respond to this crisis with providing seeds. Our role as farmers is to provide the continuation of our small farming systems. So we provide seeds. There are other needs are also related to fuel. As you probably guessed, there's a lot of fuel shortage also because of the relationship between Russia and Ukraine when it comes to fuel, and, well, Russia and all the world, basically, when it comes to fuel. So obviously they have fuel shortages, so that they need fuel to run their tractors and to go to their fields. This is something that indeed it's a big problem. And then agricultural inputs, because there's a lot of needs also for, like, what they are saying about fertilizers and about other agricultural inputs that right now also were dependent on the, let's say, the international market. The profile of the agricultural system in Ukraine is that this kind of industrialization level has already reached all layers of society. A small farmer in Ukraine is much higher than, for instance, a small farmer in Romania. And many small farmers in Ukraine are dependent on these agricultural inputs, but not in that measure as agricultural big agro holdings, which obviously need much, much more. So it's just, these are some of the immediate needs. The more long, medium-term needs are more recognition of the small farmers from the political, let's say, society. So that means their leadership, to realize that these farmers need to be supported on a medium term right now, especially in wartime, so that they can produce food and they can market that food, because obviously there's a lot of distribution going on. And what we hear as testimonies from these farmers is that they give out their food for free, and they do it with all the good heart and all the, let's say, all the altruism that is needed right now in war. So we have reports from them that they are supplying for free several times a week in the cities, so that people can live, people are not starving. But on the long term, medium term, these farmers need this recognition, because they are the ones who stood their place. So yes, these are some of the needs that were highlighted to us.
So you are active in EcoRuralis, which is a Romanian peasant organization. What is right now going on in EcoRuralis? How is it possible for you to currently support farmers in Ukraine?
We started our solidarity actions from the few hours later after the invasion of Ukraine, when we heard about the news. When Russia entered, we immediately realized that our fellow farmers and friends from civil society, who are also doing great work, they will need support. We started to mobilize our membership, and very quickly we realized that there is a crisis at the borders of Romania because of the refugees. Many of our members have been mobilizing very naturally, and especially from the counties that are near the border with Ukraine. So a lot of our members started to host refugees, or to bring them food or other needs that they have, which was a very great, let's say, ad hoc solidarity mobilization from our membership. Then we started to have more organized discussions in EcoRuralis about how to approach this crisis. So we continued the support for mobilization for the refugees, but we also started to organize funds. So, for instance, we put aside from our fundraising funds, emergency funds, so that we can support, especially what I was talking about, outreach for small farmers and to cover their basic needs. So we started to mobilize funds so that we can send seeds, so that we can send other materials, and that also that we enter into permanent contact with them. And that was another support that we offered, is political support. Because what they also needed is indeed to be out there in the public perception, so that we started to organize all kinds of public discussions where we always invited our friends from Ukraine, the farmers and civil society, to expose the problem as much as we can and to make them visible, and their demands making them clear and visible. So we started to also issue out solidarity letters and requests political requests to our country, but also to neighboring countries or the EU. So this is all going in line with the actual mobilization work that we do to safeguard refugees that come to Romania, but also to safeguard farmers that are farming right now in Ukraine. These were just a couple of the things that we do, but just to say that in a very natural way, we embedded the work of solidarity for Ukraine in our general work of Eco Ruralis. So when we are organizing, we are always taking in consideration also this aspect, and our staff has, we have dedicated staff that we dedicate working time so that we can keep this contact alive and then we can keep this going on. So one other thing that we started to do indirectly is to link in the European coordination via Campesina with other members like Abel from Germany to build campaigns of solidarity from an international level. And this was very nice because we also started to influence each other and somehow to know about each other what we are doing. For instance, to know how Abel is also supporting and going to the border and supporting refugees and supporting farmers, and to better coordinate our activities. We are also working on setting up a crowdfunding campaign that will be dedicated to the support of small farmers in Ukraine.
I think it is really crazy to think about how agriculture can function at all in wartime and what meaning food sovereignty has in times of war, in times of the danger of hunger for the Ukrainian population. So if we have a look at, let's say, a middle-term perspective, what fundamental changes do you think are necessary for the Ukrainian agriculture to work during wartime or during post-war time, hopefully?
Yes, well, that's a very complex question because, and also I don't feel entirely entitled to answer it because I'm not a Ukrainian farmer myself, but because I have these close contacts to Ukrainian farmers and because we maintain these kind of political discussions also, I feel maybe a bit more entitled to tell about it, so I will do my best. First and foremost, Ukrainian small family farmers need recognition on a political level from Ukraine and from the international society. So from Ukraine, they need recognition from their government, and we are in good contact with Small Family Farmers Association that has already made some definitive steps towards this. This being said, there's a long road because Ukraine is a very polarized country on commodity production. As you well said at the beginning of our conversation, a lot of the commodity crops of the world are coming from Ukraine or Russia. So this war obviously has a global repercussion. But on the other hand, Ukraine, it proves itself right now very fragile. While they have 4 million family farmers still in Ukraine, these farmers are invisible. Although they produce so much of their domestic, let's say, foodstuffs, vegetables, fruits, and milk and meat, they are still invisible. So they need to be visible and to be accepted and introduced into agricultural policies. So this is very important. This is their main demand, that they are being recognized. Also right now, very important, when we talk about the discussion about Ukraine coming closer to EU, entering EU possibly, it's very much important that small farmers are being in strong consideration when it comes to European policies. So that means really respecting and giving a different shape to the CAP, to the Common Agricultural Policy, because that will have ultimately repercussions over Ukrainian farming too, which comes with a great baggage of small farmers, which are a very good investment for Europe. So that's very important. Secondly, also what it needs is that, as we hear, of course, Ukraine needs to become more food sovereign. That also comes with more of a decision of farmers, of the farmers who are currently there, which are almost all the small farmers, of how land is being used. Right now, land in Ukraine is very concentrated. There are a lot of big agro holdings, as they call them, large industrial companies, many with investment coming from all kinds of hedge funds and investment funds, long-term tenure, long-term leases over land, concessions over land, of public land or their land, the farmers' land that they received back after the fall of socialism. They are all blocked into these big agro holdings. So obviously what they need is a fair and just land reform. The land reform that was in discussion right before the war was in a way very neoliberal, liberalizing the land market, but not taking in consideration that a lot of the land is already locked inside these big agro-industrial complex holdings. So right now, in times of war, these are not functioning. Only 30% of this farmland that they hold will be produced, according to estimations. It might be less. So obviously, land needs to be distributed more fairly. Small farmers, which work millions of hectares of land themselves too, need access to more land. And this is a strong demand that they are giving. And also the access to diversified crops, not just depending on soy, corn, and some other commodity crops. So very important. This along brings the global discussion about how other countries, many of them who were also war-torn before in the history, are also very dependent on these commodity crops. And I think this is something that Ukraine and the farmers definitely were expressing. Yes, while we have this huge responsibility as a country to produce for other regions, we first of all have now the responsibility to feed ourselves. And I think that is a consideration that many countries now need to take, how to reshape their agricultural policies and land use so that it's much more sovereign, much more oriented towards their like local consumption, local markets, regional markets, first and foremost. Because yes, climate change is also here, and all the other problems are still persistent. So these are all some considerations that are now in wartime very critical, very much obvious. Also very important is this: how destructive is this free trade, global free trade agreements, are towards small farmers. And this is something to be very strongly reconsidered by political decision makers, how to safeguard their farming communities and not to expose them to the volatility of the free market. So these are all big political questions that need to be answered in the coming period, hopefully in a period of peace, not in a war.